Greetings and good morning, Western Colorado. Thanks so much for listening to KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio. It's 8 o'clock, and here's your local newscast for Monday, January 21st. Happy Martin Luther King Day and happy Inauguration Day. Two Southern Colorado groups are representing the Centennial State in today's presidential inaugural parade. From KRCC in Colorado Springs, Martha Perez Sands has more.
Ballet Folklorico de la Raza is a Mexican folk dancing troupe based in Colorado Springs. Just before Christmas, the group got a phone call inviting them to perform in the parade. Instructor Danae Torres says 16 advanced dancers are expected to participate.
We've got all kinds of emotions running right now, but more than anything, we're just excited to be able to represent the state of Colorado. We're excited to represent just the people, the nation.
The group formed in 1994 and usually performs at events like weddings and the state fair. Also selected to march in the parade is Puebla West-based Native American Women Warriors, a nationwide group of women veterans. President and founder Micheline Bigman says 10 members are ready to march in traditional Native American dress, with special beading to designate specific tribes.
Originally, the jingle dress comes from the Ojibwe tribe, but the reason why we chose those dresses, that style of dress, is because of what it stands for. It's a prayer and a dance of healing.
The nearly three-year-old group operates mainly online and over the phone. The parade means several of the members will meet face-to-face for the first time. I'm Martha Perez Sands.
Members of the Vision Schools Board of Stewards addressed the Delta County School Board last week about the school's desire to secure a charter designation. KVNF's Marty Derlin reports.
Vision School Stewards, flanked by a group of concerned supporters, urged the Board of Education to move more quickly toward securing charter status for the alternative school. With campuses in Paonia, Cedar Edge, and Delta, Vision offers individual attention and innovative instruction to 645 students district-wide. Vision School Steward Cindy Sorensen's two daughters are Vision students in the North Fork.
We would like to become charter. That depends on the Board of Education. They have the sole authority to help us become a charter if that's the way they choose to go. Mm-hmm. And that's one reason why we're talking tonight.
A charter designation brings with it a package of waivers that would allow Vision to operate as it always has, using a small group of accredited or highly qualified teachers to supervise instructors without such degrees. Without the designation, Vision could lose its unaccredited instructors because of changes made recently by the Colorado Department of Education. And time is short, said Gregory Hunt, a steward from Cedar Edge.
There's a long list of things to cover, and I must point out that it took us from January to June, 2 years ago, to negotiate the regular Vision contract.
School Board President Pete Blair said the board is waiting for a letter from the State Department of Education before taking any action on the charter school issue. For KVNF News, I'm Marty Derlin.
Last week, the IC Change Almanac launched online. For KVNF and IC Change, Julia Kumari Drapkin reports on what people saw changing.
Last week on IC Change, Jason Beeson saw a northern pygmy owl catch and gobble down a sparrow near his bird feeder in Paonia. It's the second time this winter he's seen one in his yard, and he wants to know if this owl species normally comes down this low in elevation to find food in the winters. Scientist Joe Rochester, who has a specialty in wild bird endocrinology, posts that it is normal. She writes, "The northern pygmy owl has a normal range of 3,000 to 6,000 feet and may move into lower elevations in the winter." Meanwhile, Craig Childs posted a bird's eye view of the winter bear orchards outside Paonia from a 1946 two-passenger Cessna. And Rita Claggett posted a driver's side video of a cattle traffic jam in Crawford, remarking that, brr, even on super cold days, ranchers still have to get on the roads to move their cows between Crawford and Hotchkiss. In fact, we've been getting a few Icy Change posts about animal traffic in the North Fork, particularly sheep traffic. So I called up sheep rancher Brian Farmer to see if it was his herds on the move.
Yeah, that was us. In fact, we're hauling 2,000 sheep as we speak down there in the desert country outside of Delta.
Brian says they normally move sheep herds in December, but this year there isn't as much feed because of the drought, so the BLM has severely restricted access to winter pasture.
I was kind of in shock. They pretty much cut us back like 75% turnout of normal use.
That's left a few local ranchers scrambling to find land for their animals. Hopefully more snow will be on the way soon, but lack of snowpack has been giving snowmobiles a bit of a beating. Cale Casey says he's decided to invest in a UTV with wheels to haul gear and visitors to his winter teepee in Lake City. And finally, everybody remarked about the unusually cold temperatures in the valley last week. If it felt like the Arctic, in many ways it was, as Aspen Public Radio's Luke Runyon reports.
National Weather Service meteorologist Norv Larsen says it feels like the Arctic because technically we're borrowing their air. The latest winter storm dove down into the Rockies without shedding its frigid temperatures.
The genesis region for the last storm was over the western Arctic of Canada, dropped straight down south along the west coast, and then swung eastward into our area. So it hit us fairly undiluted.
And Colorado wasn't the only one. Record low temperatures were recorded across the country, in part due to a winter phenomena called stratospheric warming in the Arctic, which is particularly strong this year. It causes high pressure to build in the Arctic and the polar jet stream to weaken. The net effect of all this is like leaving the door to the fridge open. Cold Arctic air surges down to us while the Arctic gets a little bit warmer. Forecasters think it could contribute to a cold, snowy February. Regna Jones on Stucker Mesa posted that the cold makes her thankful for the passive solar heating system in her house. She says she only feels cold on cloudy days, and in fact, she'd like to know where she can get data on how many sunny days there are versus cloudy days in the North Fork. That's a great question, Regna. Does anyone have an answer? Join the conversation. Head on over to our new website, www.thealmanac.org, and tell us what you're seeing change. Post photos, videos, questions, or answers. We can't wait to see change through your eyes next week. I See Change is produced by Julia Kumari Drapkin and brought to you by KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio, and LocalOre, a national public media initiative produced by AIR, the Association for Independence in Radio, with financial support by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Wincote Foundation, the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, and the National Endowment for the Arts. Our theme music was produced by Joe Allen and Issa Caress.
To learn more about the IC Change Project, and to participate in the IC Change Almanac, KVNF is hosting a launch party at the Paradise Theater tonight at 6:30. And stay tuned for more IC Change Almanac updates on the KVNF newscast. This year's legislative session got off to a slow start, but that's about to change. Two of the biggest items for Democrats are scheduled for hearings in the coming days. As part of our Capitol Conversation series, State House reporter Benta Berkland takes a sneak peek at what to expect.
I'm here with Charles Ashby with the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel and Ivan Moreno with the Associated Press. Ivan, two of the big bills that are going to be heard in committee, one is civil unions and the second deals with in-state tuition for illegal immigrants. Both of these measures are not new to the legislature. They haven't passed. They're expected to easily pass this year. Do you think we'll see anything different in the committee hearings?
I think the only difference will be where these two issues were among the more dramatic debates, more emotional hearings the last couple of sessions. I think there really won't be any drama here. I think everyone knows that civil unions will easily pass the Senate. In-state tuition for illegal immigrants will easily pass the Senate, and both issues expected to easily pass the House. I think the last 2 years there was drama about whether, you know, there would be Republican support or whether these measures would be able to get out of the House where Republicans had control. I think now there's really no doubt that these will get to the governor's desk pretty quickly and that he will sign them.
And Charles, do you think it's a smart move for Democrats to do these bills so early, even though, like Ivan said, there may not be a lot of drama in terms of the outcome, there's still people will want to testify?
These are expected to pass easily, as Ivan says, and that's why it makes sense for them to do this now, to get it out of the way, because they have a lot of really interesting and contentious bills that they're going to be doing later in the session. And these are the more emotional ones. That's, you know, it's going to get a lot of testimony. It's going to take some time to get through committee, but they're going to pass. So it's best to get them done and get them out of the way. Plus, they're not criticized for sitting on them and waiting around, as they were last year with civil unions, to try to find the sponsors and the votes and this and that. They have the votes.
Yeah, these, in contrast to other years, are actually going to be pretty easy issues in comparison to what some of the other things that lawmakers are expected to tackle. One of the big issues that we're all going to be looking at is gun control legislation. So that, I think, will be a much bigger fight.
You've got gun control. You've got some labor issues that are going to be coming up. That's going to be very contentious. You've got the death penalty.
And don't forget, there's not a lot of consensus or unity among Democrats when it comes to oil and gas regulations and fracking.
You've also got a governor who's not in favor of what the Democrats want to do there.
And let's not forget about marijuana. There's also a committee of lawmakers right now and other stakeholders who are looking at ways of how do we implement this new law that voters approved in November.
That's the other reason why you have the civil unions and the asset bill going now. The marijuana legislation is still being drafted, and it may take a few more months because they're still waiting on and hoping on something from the U.S. Justice Department. That's going to be a very difficult issue at the end of the session, and they're going to be dealing with the budget and some budgetary issues by that point.
And just finally, back to the in-state tuition and civil unions, how much do you think the GOP is going to focus on those bills, and do you think we'll see more support from the GOP on either of those issues, even though it's not needed for them to pass?
From what I've been being told by Republicans is they're going to make their statements known. They know they're not going to win any battles, so they're going to stand up and they're going to say why they don't think either one of those bills should pass. But they also at the same time know they're going to pass, so there's not a whole lot they can do, and they know there's not a whole lot they can do. They can't try to filibuster. They can't try to delay it. There's not even any amendments that they're going to be able to get on, and they know it. So they're going to make their statement and say what they need to say, and then they're going to let it go.
Okay, thanks. That was Charles Ashby with the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel and Ivan Moreno with the Associated Press. I'm Benta Berkland in Denver, and this is Capital Conversation.
The Colorado state unemployment rate decreased 0.1 percentage point since last month to 7.6%. The decrease in the unemployment rate was caused by an increase in the number of people reporting their status as employed, and not based on the number of people actively participating in the labor force. The national unemployment rate was unchanged over the same period at 7.8%. According to a report from the State Labor Department, the largest private sector job gain was in construction. The largest declines were in professional and business services, trade, transportation and utilities, and education and health services. The state unemployment rate has dropped 0.3 percentage point from the same time last year. And that concludes your local newscast for Monday. For KVNF Mountain Grown Community Radio, I'm Eric Gould. Have a great day, everybody, and thanks so much for listening.